everyone. I'm Amanda Balbi, Associate Editor at Consultants and Consultant360.com. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Zia Agha, who is the Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President at the Gary and Mary West Health Institute in La Jolla, California. We will be discussing the results of the Survey on Aging in America, which was published by West Health Institute and NORC at the University of Chicago on March 22nd. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Agha.
Thank you.
What would you say Americans think are signs of old age?
So signs of old age links to some concerns around ageism. In the past, old age has been sort of either defined by a static number, you know, if you turn 65 or if you retire, you are old. I think we are evolving in our thinking and understanding about old age, and this was reflected in the responses from the survey. For one thing, it's interesting to note that 80% of the people felt that old age was when you have lost independence or are unable to do certain activities or functions like drive for yourself or take care of yourself in the home. The number did not really become important until you hit 75 or 85, when most people felt, okay, that is a sign of old age. So we are seeing that there is, you know, there's a difference that's happening in terms of Americans wanting to live more functioning, independent, and productive lives into old age, and that it's the loss of that functioning that really defines getting old.
So how have the signs of old age changed over the years?
So if you look at some of the initial surveys and the older surveys, you know, if you go back 20, 30 years where people were surveying about old age had certain sort of what we call stigmas, and ageism was more prevalent, where, you know, old age was defined either by a number or by a lack of ability. It was assumed that once you hit a certain age, you're unable to do certain functions, to be productive, to enjoy life. And we know that that is not true anymore. We have seniors who I work with, and a lot of your listeners engage with and work with, who are in their 80s, in their 90s, and very productive and very active and able to maintain independence. So I think some of those myths around old age are changing, both based on the improved quality of life of our population and seniors, but also how we as a nation see old age.
And what role do primary care providers or other healthcare professionals caring for elderly patients play in improving their patients' independence, driving ability, cognition, fitness goals, and so on?
That's a very important question. I think one of the things that we learned from this survey is that while healthcare and preventive care is obviously on everybody's mind, and that is something that we as primary care providers excel in and focus on, equally important is to address some of the other facets of life that ensure successful aging. So supporting people in ways that allows them to have, you know, better transportation, you know, better housing, better meals, access to oral health, access to in-home services, access to wellness programs are equally important. And I think so these social determinants of healthcare, so as we call them, are both valued by the patients, but we also know that these social determinants of healthcare, if not managed properly, account for a significant increase in risk for bad outcomes. So for instance, research has shown that, you know, up to 40% of unavoidable hospitalizations are not due to a uncontrolled medical problem, but due to an uncontrolled social issue, like let's say homelessness or inability to access healthcare due to mental illnesses. So we want to really, the message for the primary care teams is that for seniors and specifically vulnerable seniors, it's really important to address those non-medical factors.
And how else can healthcare providers counsel their patients on retaining their independence?
I think it begins with starting with preventive measures and even having a recognition at a younger age, before somebody turns 65, on maintaining their wellness activities, like you mentioned, exercise, having a plan, participating in your healthcare decisions, making sure that your values and your goals are being addressed by the healthcare team is very important. I think, you know, engaging with the healthcare system around preventative care is equally important. Far too often we see that our system can do heroic measures when it comes to, you know, serious illnesses, but simple illnesses go either untreated or unmanaged because of lack of coordination or lack of recognition. One of the things that we are doing within our research and our senior center and dental center is the use of a comprehensive geriatric assessment, which assesses not just medical need, but also social issues, oral health issues, nutrition. So having this comprehensive approach to really understand and risk stratifying your patient population based on all of these multiple facets is very important from primary care perspective.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Dr. Aga.
Thank you.